Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Download Required, the official comic book podcast of the Canton Repository. We're back inside Carnation City Comics with Joe Scott today.
It's a beautiful day, Cliffy. We got a lot to talk about.
It's a warm one. It's about 90 degrees out. We're at the tail end of August.
Hey, you know what? I don't mind these. My wife hates it when it's hot like this, but I love it. That just means more like warmer nights outside. So, but I'm not gonna lie, I do kind of like probably fall better because it's not as warm outside, and I love having bonfires. So, we're getting close to that bonfire season, which I mean, well, you know, we have bonfires anyway.
Yeah.
So,
all I'm saying is, I'm 300 pounds, people. When I walk outside, I take a step, I start to sweat.
It's quite warm out there. So, but that's all right.
Now that you've got your forecast out,
we're all nice. It's nice and, you know, cozy in here. We got nice air conditioning going on. We're good.
We've got a lot to talk about this week rather than last week, where we ended up just making a bunch of stuff up, and it turned out pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's always fun to use.
We're always good at thinking on our feet.
Yeah. It's always fun to use Marvel as a pinata, too.
But they make it so easy.
They do.
They make it so easy.
I'm stunned at all the issues that are. We're not going to get sucked down the rabbit hole too far, but
nah.
I see, like, Fantastic Four number one's been out for weeks. I still see it sitting there.
Yeah, well, that's the last one. Now, mind you, I started off with quite a few issues of that.
Did you?
Yes, I did, because I was hoping that one would build up, and it kind of did. I mean, we had a lot of people coming in and asking for it, so, I mean, I think I'm down to my last one, actually. That's the last issue I have. So, that's right, you cut Marvel out, so you didn't even read it, did you?
They're down.
Yeah,
you're dead and gone.
No, I know you didn't have. I think I actually had a Marvel title for you in your pull list, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, why is this? I think somehow we had it. You were supposed to get Extinction. Is that what it was called? Or Extermination?
Extermination.
I think but we didn't realize that was a Marvel title. Actually,
no.
I think we thought that was like maybe an IDW or an Image title at first. So it wasn't until I opened it up, I'm like, is a Marvel. He didn't want that. He ain't gonna want that after, you know, it's part of what's that guy's name again that you hate so much?
C.V. Cebulski.
I'm nothing. I'm Naval Lynch.
So I gotta feel after that, you aren't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Exterminate. They're finally returning the classic X-Men to their timeline after they've been out of it for 7-8 years.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure that did no damage.
Probably not.
Nothing catastrophic.
I was going to say, well, it's, yeah. But no, I mean, you know, that's like I was discussing with you right before we started. You know, I still have a couple people with pull lists in Marvel. I mean, they're not really big, but I got a couple guys that are getting Exiles.
One of the main two publishers, though. It should be.
You would think it'd be a lot more. You really do. You really do. Unfortunately, it's just not. I don't know. I don't know if just the talent's not there.
Looking at something like West Coast Avengers, when I talk about the art.
Yeah.
Look at that cover. That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
It's goofy art.
It's goofy looking, and it's kind of like what they're doing with animation. Because like my wife often calls me an animation snob, because if the animation sucks, I won't watch a cartoon.
I mean,
and
I'm
it's like
just looking at it, and it's like the West Coast Avengers. It used to, you know, it was a B team.
Right.
Avengers.
Well, yeah, but I remember it was cool.
When you look at that team, it's like a bunch of, all these new characters that have failed as single
players. Right. It's nothing that you, it's nothing
like
that.
Like Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen was a joke once. This
right.
is like a joke like two or three times
right.
removed, and
right.
you're still trying to make it happen.
Spider-Gwen's actually one of those people, one of those characters I actually do have on pull
that
list.
One
Someone
worked.
Does actually have that on pull list, so.
I mean, that one worked. I'm just saying, these are the ones that have failed.
These are like the rejects kind of get thrown together.
Spider-Gwen,
yeah, right.
Like, you know, Gwenpool.
Right, right.
America Chavez, Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
Right.
There's all these other, like, I don't know, just derivative failures.
Yeah.
I guess America Chavez really isn't a derivative failure.
Well,
she's
I mean, there. Well, here you go again.
Gwenpool's derivative and...
Well, here you go again with Marvel out, trying
you know.
To... It's almost like Marvel's like, you know, we just have these characters. Let's just throw them together. I mean, they're all like, you know...
They can't sell alone.
So what if we put them all together and think maybe that'll actually... I mean, I don't know. To me, it does not sound like a good idea.
I don't think so.
I don't really think they're going to... No. That one there, I can tell you, has been on my shelf ever since I got it. No,
yeah,
I don't think I've seen anyone
weeks.
Even picked it up and looked at it. So
I mean, that cover just throws you off. It looks like,
It looks cartoony. It looks too cartoony, and it's not something I would consider to be.
You think of Marvel, you think of like Jim Lee, the ultra hyper realistic style.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're thinking of animated style, you're thinking of like Joe Matarera, big oversized.
Yeah, there you go. I loved that guy's artwork.
He's moved into video games, but as far as cartoony arts, Joe Mad is the guy I thought did that style.
Now, was he the guy that did? Was doing X-Men at the time when Storm?
X-Men.
Well, Storm had like the hair where she was cut down to like her neck, but then it had like the long, but she had like two long front ends that came out.
Dude, that guy's
artwork was amazing to me.
I can't remember for sure.
Because he did. He had like really blocky type. Yeah. His body style was real big and bulky and blocky.
Yeah, that,
and usually that's too much. But honestly, he did a great job. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, he's moved into video game design, which just sucks all the time.
I'll tell you right now, dude, as an artist, it's fun to, you got to love, if you love art, like most of us artists do, you're going to try to dabble in a little bit of everything because there's always something new, always something cool. I'll be honest, I love being a comic artist, but I don't want to be a comic artist my entire rest of my life.
Oh, you don't want to be one thing.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think anyone does.
And that's like, you know, like even with guys like Jim Lee, who's moved on, he's moved up in the ranks in DC, you know, I mean, he's in like a chief head, you know, he's the head of the head guy now. I'm sure he oversees projects and their toy development and their, probably even video games.
He gets that DC Universe Online. That's why he didn't do comics for a long time, is he was doing all the concept.
Right, so I totally understand that. As an artist myself, I mean, these days I probably teach more than I actually do art, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love teaching. So, I mean, and so I get to do a lot of that right now, but even as an artist, there's a whole bunch of different avenues that I want to explore as my career goes on. So, you know, I mean, I love doing Faust, and I'll always do Faust, but... that's one thing I do like about CCP Comics too. They actually allow me time to kind of go out and venture different things and stuff like that, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, looking at some of the other Marvel, like the Venom cover there, First Host, that's a Mark Bagley. That's what I think of when I think Marvel Comics. That's
I agree.
Style.
Yep, that is awesome. And that's your classic Venom too, with your big, bulky kind of.
Mark Bagley's the man.
Yeah, that's, right. You know.
And even Extermination, even that style fits, I think,
it kind of does.
Better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That kind
of reminds me of like early 2000s Marvel style.
It's still better than whatever West Coast
Avengers was.
I don't know what that is. But we're gonna talk about something positive at this point.
All
right. We got this week store, how about the Looney Tunes DC Comics crossover?
These are awesome.
They are on shelves. We may do a short video just showing.
I think we're going to have to just kind of show these off.
We're going to show you those in the new DC Essentials, which have now all come in at once. My wallet hurts. It's starting to cry, literally.
Yeah, I didn't plan for that.
No,
neither
of us did. We both looked
usually
at it,
when
like,
I order something,
no.
It takes 2 weeks to get here. This time it did not.
Have a Batman, sir, right away.
Well, I ordered those the same time I got Dark Knight's Metal. Another announcement, too. Dark Knight's Metal
is back
in stock, too. And it just kind of surprised me. I always look, like once every week, I always look to see they're back. And sure enough, they were. So I went ahead and ordered like 3 copies of those. 2 copies of Killing Joke, because the graphic novel is still, bar none, far better, excuse me, than that animated piece of crap that they did. And then I ordered your action figures with it. And usually, it takes 2 weeks to get here, right? Because we ordered these, what, last Wednesday?
One took 3, the reverse flash took 3.
Right, and the reverse took 3. And then we ordered these last Wednesday, and they came here literally a week after.
Yeah.
That's never happened before, so... But, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cool. You ain't got to wait for your stuff now. So they must.
You never know.
Well, they come. The orders come from a place out in PA. And I'm guessing if they have the stuff in stock, they just go ahead and throw it in. So, yeah. So I think that's probably what happened there.
Back to the DC Looney Tunes crossovers. First one we got, Joe. Catwoman and Tweety and Sylvester.
Yep. Now he's Totty Taw 2 Putty Tats.
Yeah. That's the cover.
We'll show that
to you. It's pretty great. You got, this is a weird one. Lex Luthor and Porky Pig.
Dude, that is just, it's creepy looking.
Porky's
honestly,
really creepy.
It's creepy looking. No, because they're drawing the Looney Tunes characters in realistic life, and it does. It's just really weird. And when we do the video part of the cast, we'll show these.
Like
definitely.
Sylvester looks like a real cat.
Yeah, he does.
Like he has proportions
and so does Tweety.
Cat.
Tweety looks like a real bird.
It's really weird.
I really can't. We can't describe. We have to show these. We're gonna have to show them.
We got Harley Quinn and Gossamer.
Yeah, which Gossamer, I mean, I remember Gossamer.
I don't know much about
Gossamer. I don't know much about it. I just remember him being in a few Bugs Bunny cartoons.
And how about this one? We saved this for last.
The Joker and Daffy Duck.
Joker and Daffy Duck. Daffy looks like a more human proportion.
Right, yeah.
Like, we're talking about a more realistic art. It's the opposite of West Coast Avengers, which you would think would be with those.
What they would want to do here, yeah. But no, they don't.
The dark, gritty.
Well, you know what? It reminds me a lot of the Batman Elmer Fudd that they did. Was it a year ago?
That was a huge hit.
That was a big hit. But they drew Elmer Fudd and realistic.
How many times did you sell that out?
I think I got two or three shipments of it. I had to because people kept coming in asking for it. So I think we were still getting it when they were in their third printings.
I think it went to four or five.
Did it? Okay, yeah.
And I mean,
well, I think you can still get it now, but I think they put it in a trade paperback. Yeah.
With
all the other ones with it. Yeah,
so it's like you kind of got to take them all. Which the other ones weren't bad.
No.
They just, that one was the one that everyone, I mean, rightfully so, as one of the best books of last year, single issue.
Well, it really kind of was. I mean, and who was the artist on that? Do you remember?
Lee Weeks.
Lee Weeks. No kidding.
That was Lee Weeks.
Dude, he was actually awesome. I loved his art style, too.
You're good.
So,
yeah, he's actually on Batman now, the whole Mr. Freeze thing.
Oh, okay.
Been doing that.
All right, that's cool.
That's been fun. So he's a... No, he's a great artist. You wouldn't think of Lee Weeks and, you know, Bugs Bunny and Elmer
Fudd. No, you
Bud.
Wouldn't.
And it was crazy.
It's an interesting concept. It really, really is. And, I mean, the most of it works, but I'm sorry, that Porky Pig just looks incredibly creepy. It looks like something out of, like, when you're playing Arkham Knight.
Pig.
Yeah, the Mr. Pig guy who's butchering people.
Yeah.
Dude, that's exactly who he reminded me. The first time I opened the book, I'm looking, I'm just like, wow, this is like right out of Arkham Knight. It's creepy.
I didn't pick that up, but you're exactly, now that I can't unsee it.
You can't not unsee it now.
And we're going to show it to you. We're
yes, we
show
are.
It
yes,
to
we
you
are.
Because we have to. It's just... It's absolutely, it is kind of, it's a little disconcerting. A
little bit.
Well, wow.
A little bit.
Just staring right into my soul here.
Yeah.
And this isn't the only one. They got some other, I think it's Hanna-Barbera ones coming up in about a month. You're getting Deathstroke and a Lifelike Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear, yep. I just made the orders for, I placed the orders for October, so yeah, so it's going to be.
There's like four of, I can't remember.
Right.
Deathstroke and I remember telling you about it. You were like, real, and I showed you the art.
Wow.
You were like, that is not a Yogi I remember.
I'll tell you right now,
like
that Yogi Bear is going through like parks and ripping off picnic baskets. There ain't no one stopping him.
No. No, he's not friendly. He didn't look like he'd ask.
He would shred the ranger in half. Seriously, the way they've drawn this Yogi Bear.
I mean,
it's
looks like a large feral zombie bear is what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, I'm gonna make that the thumbnail of this video.
Okay.
Just because.
You got
it.
Yeah, we got it. You got to show
that. The other ones
we
can show in a video. That one
I'm telling you right now, Cliffy. I have an idea. And I want to run this past you. I have an idea how we can do our video podcast. I actually seen something. It was someone else doing a podcast. They were interviewing one of the guys from the original Karate Kid movies. But I like their setup, and I think we could totally rock something like this. But in doing so, we could also add like pictures and stuff like that, like what we're talking about, so that people can actually know can actually see what we're discussing. But I mean, it might be a little editing involved, but hey, I don't mind doing it. I love editing, so I'm actually.
We'll
discuss that. We'll get into that a little bit more.
Discuss that,
but you got to check that out. It is pretty awesome.
So that's the good news for them. There's some fun stuffs on the shelves. Fifth week of the month, sometimes you get these crossovers where they don't want to release their main books.
Not yet. Not at the end of the month.
They're usually
wait.
On like a 4 month, four week shipping cycle where they do things twice a month or once a month, and that fifth week's usually kind of. A hodgepodge of stuff.
Right, right,
it's either leftover or specials like these.
Right, right.
And that's mostly what we have this. I think Marvel did some. Like you mentioned, Extermination, New Event.
Right.
There's some new stuff coming out, but by and large, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Unless you order,
it really is.
Unless you order three action figures and they all come in on the same day.
Yeah, we got you. Yeah, but those action figures are pretty awesome.
They are. We're going to show. I love Jason Fabok's art. And you want to talk about the art I like. That is it. You know, you can just see it on them. It looks like they jumped right off the page.
Off the comic we see. I love it when they do stuff like that.
And he even showed how they crafted the chins, like Batman's chin has like a little like dip in it, like his art does.
That's
There's like
so
a
cool.
dip in it. And I'll try to show that off. It might be hard because of the plastic.
But yeah, and you got the lighting and everything.
Yeah, you never know. We'll try to do the best we can with what we got.
All right, very good.
That's what we'll do.
I like it.
So you can look forward to that. It'll be up on the CantonRep.com YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So go there, check it out. It'll be up tonight. I would say subscribe, but you're probably going to get a lot of other news updates. If you want news updates, though, subscribe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The comic. Well, I will say this. This is like
convention
the worst.
Convention season's coming for you.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the months of, like, the late months of, or the late weeks of August going in September has got to be the absolute worst time here. Like, absolute worst. Like, no one really buys anything. So, this is, like, the rough part of the year for us. We just got to try to fight to get through this part of the year. But after that, we're usually pretty good. So, but actually, I'm pleased to announce that we are officially doing T-shirts now. We have got our press working. I think I've ironed out the bugs for the most part. And we can do just about any design that you may want. So, if you're interested in getting some custom T-shirt work done, come on down to Carnation City Comics and talk to myself or my beautiful wife, Leah. I mean, either one of us can help you out. We don't produce them here in the store yet. I mean, we could probably, like, if someone, say like you came down to us and you wanted a shirt done, we could probably have it done within, like, I don't know, a couple days. So, because we're going to have to get equipment in here if we're actually going to, like, be able to chuck them out right here, made to order, you know what I mean?
Joe has talked about making me work in the sweatshop.
Yeah,
just cranking out shirts.
Shirts, yeah, really. Well, I'll tell you right now, actually, it was funny because we're going to, that's exactly what I've actually planned on spending, we're going to debut these shirts at Hall of Fame City Comic Con coming up here on September 15th, folks. Yeah, definitely, if you want to come check out the first batch of shirts, we're going to be selling them there at Hall of Fame City Comic Con at the Canton Civic Center on September 15th. And I plan on doing, you want to talk about sweatshopping? Well, I'm talking about sweatshop because I'm going to have a case of beer in the fridge and I'm just going to be making T-shirts all night long. That's all I'm going to be doing. So just print these back. You want to come over for a beer or two? Yeah, you can definitely, I could always put you to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay in beer, so we could always do that. So that'll be pretty cool. And then, so I'm hoping to debut like a lot of the shirt designs.
Should we do a video? We should make.
We
that
could do
a video
for that. Absolutely,
the
that'd be great.
From the
start of the shirts, the sweatshops, which is basically going to be our dining rooms.
That's where it's going to be. Call your dining room,
right? The sweatshop.
The sweatshop.
So, well, you know what? I'll tell you right now. With as hot as it's been, because our house
doesn't have anywhere is a sweatshop right now.
You know, I mean, we have two air conditioners. Our house is, the good thing about our house is it's small. So two air conditioners pretty much keep it nice and cool. But bad news is there is no basement. It's on a concrete slab. So we can't, like, I mean, there's, if it gets hot, it gets hot. But thankfully, like I said, we have air conditioning, so we're all right. We'll have to rock some of those out here coming up so we can have some shirts for the Comic-Con. That'd be awesome.
And I've seen the designs, folks.
I'm wearing one right now, actually.
Yeah, Joe's wearing the logo.
The logo shirt, yeah. So
and there's other things.
Oh, we got a couple other. Basically, we're transferring all of my art, all the prints that we had done throughout the years were, I am reconforming them to T-shirt designs. So, and there are artwork. So, I mean, they're going to be like custom T-shirts. Like, you're not going to get, like the Michael Myers and Deadpool, which has got to be one of the most popular prints we have.
Or characters that look like Michael Myers and Deadpool.
Right. Characters that look like them. Right, exactly.
But the prints that we did,
you can't get a shirt anywhere else like that. So it's gonna be pretty cool. We're very, very excited for it. So.
Yeah, so it's that's something to look out for.
Look for it, definitely.
But we did get some news, Joe. The November stuff came out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the solicits, we got to look at all the stuff coming in from all the companies. A lot of good stuff there.
Right, right.
How about Shazam? Jeff Johns returning. He's doing Doomsday Clock. Now he adds monthly Shazam to his list.
That's pretty cool. After the positive feedback we're getting from
the trailer.
Yeah, I think this is a good move.
That did not look like a DC movie.
No, it didn't.
Kind of moving away from the dark.
They are, which I think they learned their lesson. They learned that they couldn't do that. And just like you and I were watching clips of Justice League before we started casting, you know, you can tell Justice League that's a completely different from Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It's not dark. It's a lot more lighthearted. It's a little more humor, and that's what these movies need.
They should have pulled if they were going to pull the trigger on Zack, they needed to do it before he started instead of like this midstream. Because
right.
You have all this, you know.
You do have it. Well, there is, but honestly, I got to say, I'm probably watching this for like the fifth or sixth time now, and after a while, you kind of forget. At least I do. I kind of forget that this was two different directors, and to me, I can kind of mesh it all together as one movie. But you know, the one thing with these comic book movies, and if nothing else, Marvel has shown they know how to do a good comic book movie. And you know, it is a right combination of action, humor, and I mean, you've got to have a little bit of seriousness in there. I get that, you know, but at the same, because you want it to be, you don't want it to be, you know, Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin. You want. You want to keep the campiness to a minimum.
Batman and Superman was kind of so dark.
It was almost too dark. Yeah.
It was almost comical.
It was almost too dark, and I think it was way. Yeah, I like Marvel. If Marvel has done nothing else as far as their movies go, they have shown how they know how to make a good comic book.
Yeah, DC's still finding their.
They're
way.
Still trying to find their path.
This Joker thing, I think, is really going to confuse people.
Yeah, because it's going right back to like the really dark. Comic, dark kind of movie. But then again, it's what's his name?
He's producing. It's Todd Phillips from The Hangover. Directing this. Yeah. So
now that's the first I'm hearing of this.
No. That's who it's always
Todd
been.
Todd Phillips.
He's writing and directing. Scorsese's just producing.
Scorsese.
He can help him get guys like De Niro. Possibly. I don't know what happened with that. That was a rumor.
Yeah. What did happen? So that's not happening then.
I thought maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Because I haven't heard anything about that lately, but I mean, you got to have Bobby D.
Got the boss.
You know, how are you going to do this without Bobby D?
Well, they did. They added Alec Baldwin the other day.
I did see that. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
He says he's going to.
Well, they can't have Jeffrey Dean Morgan because this is not. This is completely separate from the DC movie universe. So
yeah, it's
this is a completely standalone
and yet
movie.
And Joaquin Phoenix is like, I don't care what people think of it. So they're off to a rip roaring start there.
But you know what? I got to be honest, man. If you're going to be these people,
Well, don't
gear
say
up.
It in public,
true,
Joe. Don't
true.
Say it in public.
You got to kind of have that mindset, though.
You do, but don't say it in public.
Yeah, I guess
that's
not.
A dumb thing to say.
Well, you don't say it like that.
Well, that's how he said.
Oh, well, that's just dumb. Well, no, you would say something. You would say something like, "I'm going to do my best to do this character justice."
Blah blah. And meanwhile, you're like,
"And I hope you all enjoy it."
And meanwhile, your thought exactly.
Right.
Well, how much does it cost to be a little courteous to people?
Well, you know? See, I think you're right. I think there's a little bit of, I think that's kind of gotten lost.
Especially in the comic,
all these guys,
you follow any comic pro on Twitter, you'll want to quit the industry. I mean, you'll just want to not support. I almost have to cut myself off because I've seen so much bad stuff this week from these guys.
Really?
It's like I just want to cancel everything and just not read.
Yeah. We've had this discussion time and time again. If you're a person of any kind of, public interest.
Just a little courteous.
You got to show some courtesy. Sure, you know, be nice about things. I mean, even if you're going to be negative about it, at least try to have the decency to, you know, as you
said. I mean, there are some jerks that are going to come at you. You have to know that, though.
Well, exactly. That's going to happen.
You just say, sorry you didn't enjoy the book and go on about your day. You're probably not going to be able to make them happy regardless.
Right.
So it's like, once you stoop down to there, it just makes everyone look bad. The company, you, the book.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, I've actually had, mind you, it's rare, but I've actually had negative feedback on Faust.
I haven't seen you on Twitter out there.
No.
Well, you got.
I've had a few people call him a second-rate Hellblazer. I have heard people say the artwork is not exactly what they would expect for a story like this. Yada yada yada. But you know,
what would they expect? That's exactly the kind of art I expect.
Well, I'm just telling you.
They want West Coast Avengers on that type of story. What are you looking at?
Yeah, that's.
I would challenge.
That, I'm sure that's going to be that would be a perfect match.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying. You took that one. I'd be like, why? What exactly do you want?
Well, honestly, I mean, mind you, now these aren't people telling me.
Yeah.
I'm hearing these kind of things through the grapevine. Yeah, exactly. So, at the same time, I'm not going on Faust's Facebook page.
If you don't
like
this, kiss my rear.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you got to accept a little bit of criticism, and especially when you're doing stuff like this. Right, exactly. You blow it off. You know what? Because it's not that their opinions aren't valid to me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if sometimes I take something like that as constructive criticism and use it.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I love to do that, but. But yeah, I mean, aside from that, though, no. If you're any kind of a person of public interest, you got to just keep your mouth shut, Or if you're going to open your mouth at least, and you're going to be at somewhat negative, try to be courtesy about it.
My favorite one these guys come back with is don't like it, don't buy it. And it's like, look at the sales. No one's buying it.
No one's
buying it right now. This industry is on the verge of going out of business. You really don't have the luxury of having the attitude of don't like it, don't buy it, because you're not doing well.
Right.
No one's doing well.
No, I would kind of steer clear of that one.
But that's the go-to line now. Ask EA.
Can you imagine a world without comics? That's a sad place.
We may be a couple years from finding out. We may. I think. I don't know. I just the. It's very toxic.
It is right now.
And I think
it's kind of scary.
There's a couple factors there.
Right.
I think the politics, I think, is really the thing that's murdering it. Just the focus on politics. No one cares.
No.
Normal people pick up, they don't want to hear that.
Right.
They don't want to read that. They don't care. Unless you're like doing Civil War or Watchmen, where you can blend it
into your story. And it blends it into a way that it makes it a really good story.
And you're making
story.
A smart, exact,
right.
You're being, just to
you're
sit
not
there
just
and
bringing it up
for
the
20,
sake of, you're right, yeah.
You're like, I'm mad, I lost an election 2 years ago, so I'm going to rant in this issue of Gwenpool. $5,000.
You know what? We like to laugh at that, but it's sad. But
that's
it's
what's
true.
What's
that's
happening.
What they're doing.
It's like you just no one cares.
No,
just let the politics go.
Right.
And mostly, I think, the far right used to get blamed for everything as far as wanting to censor TV and stuff.
Right.
But the comics, man, it's been the infusion of the far left. The other side is in here just. You know, they're the ones changing the characters, calling you names when you don't like it.
Right.
You don't like Gay Ace Man, you're a homophobe. You know, it's like just because, well, he's been straight for 55 years.
Yeah.
And we talked to someone a couple weeks ago. It was interesting. They said they found that kind of really offensive.
Yeah.
That he just randomly after.
I told you that was going to happen. Yeah. I said that was going to happen.
I've heard it from more than one person that they find it offensive because it's not a choice. It's a genetic disposition.
Exactly. And that's what they're trying. Yeah. So.
They're acting like you can just wake up one day that's not how it works. It's a genetic disposition.
Right. Now, remind me to tell you a story after off camera, or off off the.
I just wanted to bring that up because it's like.
It just kind of reminded me of a movie I just watched. It reminded me of a scene that I found.
And that's not the only way, but it's like just the changing of it. And then the calling you names. It's like, we're not against diversity in the books. It's like It's just, Captain America is Captain America at this point. He's been around 70. You can put someone else in that mantle. It's not going to be,
right.
No matter who it is, it's not going to be Steve Rogers. And people are always going to be asking because for 70 years, they've known it to be
Steve Rogers. Yeah.
You're better off, making new characters like DC did with The Silencer is a great book. It's selling fairly well. I've looked at the sales.
We've looked at the thing of Batwoman. Her popularity is growing.
Batwoman's
getting the new CW
the
show. Yeah, absolutely. So
that was a great. I mean, there's ways to do it where it's successful for everybody.
Which we got to say, going back now let's try to we can kind of like swing this around. Now this kind of segues into what the next part of our thing about them DC recruiting.
They've done some
weird recruiting. Yeah, just recently here because their comics and their stories have been doing great.
I don't know if it's the Bendis effect where he started before when he first got in. They promised him his own line.
Real quick, let's just bring up the speed. We've been talking about how, DC has been doing great jobs with their stories. They've been creating the right kind of characters. It seems like they've been putting more focus on their comics, which is shown. I mean,
it's less about the story.
They're doing great, great talent, great writers, great artists. And then now they're doing this.
Well, they're doing a couple of weird things. The first, they do have the author from Marvel coming over. I think this may have been like when they say Bendis. I showed you that article.
Right.
His influence is now on the wane.
Yeah.
They've pretty much almost declared him like a free agent signing bust.
Right.
Like he's been nothing but bad news for him, they feel like. Maybe his solo, like I think Scarlet and some of these other books.
Scarlet was just started today.
Yeah, that's a new one. Like some of that stuff may be fine because he's worked, again, new character.
Right.
You can do
new
whatever
character.
You want.
New character, yes,
like
exactly.
Cover, new character, Pearl.
Right.
New character. You can do whatever you want with those, and I think they're going to
sell. New beginnings, I'm ready, I'm here, front and center, let's go.
Exactly, you can do whatever you want with those. Now, Superman, everyone loved the Super Family. He writes off Lois and John pretty quick,
right,
like immediately, and people were not happy.
No, uh-uh.
And they said, as far as, like, the Bendis line is not going to happen. Like,
right,
the Young Animals imprint, that's kind of dead in the water.
Really?
So he's like a receiver you signed. He's like Dwayne Bowe. Remember that? Maybe not as bad. The Browns signed him from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Made like two catches all year.
Yeah.
Sat on the bench.
Right.
Got paid like $16 million to be really, maybe not that much, but
right,
he picked up a check to be not so good.
Basically hold that bench up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what it was inactive a couple, but it's maybe not that bad, but it's not been good. Like,
right,
Superman sales aren't really up dramatically.
Yeah.
Maybe 10,000, and they were doing, like, TV commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, like, and that's 10,000 ships, so sales? I don't know
we don't
how
know
much. It may
well,
not be
I doubt. You talk about Superman or Man of Steel? Because the Man of Steel series, I know, I still have people coming in wanting me to order the whole series.
That was down, too.
Was
from
it?
From 1 to 5, it
oh,
dramatically
wow
fell off. And
that's
Action
weird
Comics and Superman, the two books he did out of it,
right,
they're only selling or shipping. These aren't sales numbers.
Yeah, sales shipping. Shipping numbers, right.
They're shipping about 10,000 more a month.
Okay.
And people like the stories less. They've actually, they think some people are not happy with the, you know, as everyone likes Superboy and Lois, and now they're
so
gone.
So did I. I thought that was a
and
really
plus,
cool.
And plus, it didn't make sense because, I mean, Jor-El made that offer, let me take your son.
Yeah.
He did that in Oz Effect, and he said no.
No, right.
So what changed?
Yeah, why? It's almost
other than
like,
a new writer, and I'm doing what I want.
Well, and that's exactly
that's
kind of what
it is.
Was. Well, I think it was kind of one of those things also where they did that storyline with Jor-El and then when they were like, after they seen what ended, it's almost like Ben is like, you know what, I'm still kind of curious as to what would have happened had he said yes, or how had he did a different way. So to me, Man of Steel is just kind of a big, like, Marvel's what if. What if he had chosen to, you know what I mean?
Say
yeah, no to the whole family thing.
I don't
know.
We'll see where,
effect.
I mean, his long-term storytelling, maybe he'll pull it out in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, Daredevil you had to stick with for 60 issues at a time back in the day.
Yeah.
It was like a slow-moving legal, you know.
Right.
Legal
yeah
series, which was, it was actually very good. His Daredevil stuff was really great. But it may be a case, but people right now, right off the bat, are unhappy with the setup. It
really
seems to be the consensus where they don't like Lois and John being written off.
Yeah.
And some of the things they've had going on there. But that's neither here nor
there. Right.
But what we're talking about is they're bringing G. Willow Wilson over to write Wonder Woman. She is the co-creator of Miss Marvel,
mm-hmm,
one of the, you know,
yep,
one of the substitute characters
I remember
we talked about.
You talked about her earlier.
She also had A-Force, which was like they did the all-female Avengers at one
right
point. They had it on The View.
Right.
They had, you know, and that's fine. No one's
which
saying
I actually
about
had, that. Had a gr-
it's
that was
a great idea.
Great idea, yeah.
The
fantastic
problem is it's never sold.
No.
We're looking at the ship numbers for Miss Marvel. And the reason I talked this way about Wonder Woman is you look at the caliber of writers that have been
right
on it. Greg Rucka, you know, just a huge name. James
mm-hmm
Robinson had the run afterwards. You
mm-hmm
know, the Starman, all
right
these great things he's done in the past. And even Steve Orlando now, Batman Eternal, very high-quality benchmark
mm-hmm
record of, you know, even though there are some other guys with Steve Orlando, James
right
King in the fourth, Scott Snyder on this Batman. He has, you know, he tells,
right,
you know, he's a good, solid storyteller. But Miss Marvel, and the thing with me is the tone is kind of wildly different between,
right,
like, Miss. If they try to turn it into a Miss Marvel, like, silly humor book.
Right.
Well, I'll just let the sales numbers tell you where it's at. Miss Marvel in July, last month, 148 best-selling comic, best shipping. I always say selling. It's not selling, it's ship.
Right.
They shipped 13,232 copies of Miss Marvel.
Hmm.
Let me tell you some of the books, and Wonder Woman's about six times that on a normal month. That's what James Robinson
right
was about 60.
Okay.
Now, granted, you know, Wonder Woman, much more well-known.
Well, I say Wonder Woman's
I mean,
a much bigger character, too. So, yeah, you can attribute
but
that to
it. Looking at some of the stuff that outshipped it, though, Go-Go Power Rangers, Curse of Brimstone, we talk about a new character with
that's
a totally new identity. The
that
Superman,
one's doing really well.
The supernatural horror book from basically their Ghost
yeah
Rider.
Yeah, right.
That's
right
what it is.
Right.
It's their Ghost Rider. That one outshipped it. Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, Joe. I love Peter David, but you would think Miss Marvel would be able to outship that.
Yeah, you would think.
Wildstorm, Warren Ellis and DC. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic.
I mean, Sonic is outshipping Ms. Marvel. Think about that.
Yeah.
A hedgehog at IDW outshipping Marvel.
No, let me ask you this.
The DC Beach Blanket Bad Guy Special. Sideways, another new character.
The new one, yep.
Damage, another new character. Mm-hmm. Batwoman outshipped it. Batwoman outshipped it by 2,000 copies. You know,
that don't surprise me.
Mera, Queen of Atlantis, outshipped both of those. Multiple Man. That was a terrible book. I had the first issue before I dropped Marvel.
Yeah. God.
The Unexpected, another new team of all new characters. Male, female, all together from DC.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's really strange.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Now, wait, Ms. Marvel. Now, was this not the one where we were talking about...
Where they keep saying it's the first Muslim super... And it's
right,
really not.
Like, the one was like, the people are clamoring for it, and it's like, it sold like 5,000 copies. Something
shipped,
like that.
It shipped 13,000.
Now, the woman that was in that interview that we watched, is that the woman that's going to D.C. right now?
No, that's that. That's like the head of Marvel.
I thought she was the head of Marvel.
Now, G. Willow Wilson's the woman she, like, worked with to create
She's,
like, the writer.
All right.
So, it's like they're moving company. What I'm saying is she doesn't have, like, a track record of just outstanding sales. Now, some of that can be attributed to Ms. Marvel. I don't know how well that's ever going to sell.
Yeah.
So, it's like, we'll see what happens.
I can remember when Ms. Marvel first came out, I can remember there being spark of interest. But it just didn't really do much.
Now, What I'm saying is the previous writers had this track record of long success.
Mm-hmm.
And then this just seems like out of the blue to
me. Yeah.
You know, if you had gone back to Gail Simone, who had written Wonder Woman before and had a great run, if you had brought her in, I would have understood Gail Simone. You know, I don't know. That just seemed like, I kind of scratched my head a little bit going, you know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, you got an industry, like you said, that's kind of going in and out right now. It's like we discussed earlier, you know, we might be a few years from figuring out what it's like with no,
Wonder Woman with James Robinson was the 31st best shipping book last month.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to inherit an audience of about 50,000, so about five times what she's doing now.
Well, that's what when I first heard of this, I thought to myself, well, maybe it's just Marvel's reason why they're doing so bad. But because I've heard talent, how many times have we read about both artist and writer saying that Marvel's just a very hard company to work for? You got to do it their way. So I guess we'll see. You know, maybe because her sales didn't do all that great with Ms. Marvel doesn't mean like she could take Wonder Woman and run with it. I mean, it could be.
Well, see, I mean, I've read her work. It's never. And granted, they were tie-ins.
Maybe it's never anything really noteworthy.
That's pretty much what I'm gonna say.
Okay,
I'm not
going
to be mean or
No, I got you.
I've read her work. I read, like, the A-Force. That was a Secret Wars tie, and a lot of people, like, you had to buy that if you wanted to understand what was going on.
Yeah, we all remember the bomb that Secret Wars was, though, too. I mean,
I read A-Force, and I wasn't walking away from that going, you know, what a mess. I can barely remember.
I still think that an idea of, like, all of the female Avengers was a great idea.
It's just the way...
Who was the art on that?
I don't remember.
Don't remember? Okay.
I think that was, you know, those tie-ins, it's like whoever, it's...
Well, something like that should have been a tie-in. That should have been, like, its own separate...
Well, they tried multiple times with that idea. They brought it out of Secret Wars and did it, like, as an ongoing, didn't last long.
Too bad.
So it's, I don't know, I'm just saying it's weird, I'm not really saying one way or another.
Right, well, like, we'll just have to wait and see.
Wonder Woman with the movie... Like, I understood Greg Rucka, huge sales record.
Right.
James Robinson, huge sales record. Steve Orlando, you turned to that guy a lot.
Right.
And he's doing the whole Justice League, Wonder Woman,
dark
crossover, the witching hour.
Yeah.
That's
I remember that.
So, like, I understood that's a guy that's usually working in those collaborative tie-ins. It made sense to bring him in for that. This isn't the person with that track record of either being a specialist in collaboration or a specialist in moving copies of books.
Right. So why would you assign them to books that are already moving very, very well?
Unless they think they can just keep it rolling. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll track the numbers.
I mean, yeah, exactly. We'll track the numbers.
You
got to think, like you said, You know, these things are moving so well.
I'm just saying it was weird.
On midway is just going to keep it going. So, I mean, if it's built up enough.
You can do some, you know.
Damage, though. There is that possibility, too.
And, like you've seen with with Bendis that they come over with that we're going to change everything
yeah,
and
see
blow
that,
things
no.
up. That's going to end poorly
right,
for them
right.
really quickly. It's going to be bad for everyone involved.
Pretty
I
much.
Mean, I don't know. It's like it's hard to speculate too because you don't know what they have planned. It may
no.
be fine.
No, and like you said,
I'm
too,
just
as
saying
long as they don't come in over and start changing a bunch of crap, and it goes ticking off the readers and the fans, then yeah, I mean they could be all right. But
I'm just saying, it's like all these other writers they brought onto that book have a track record of some kind of just huge sales. This just struck me as odd.
It is odd. It's odd.
It's like, I don't, especially with the movie coming, you would think you would try to get, you know, either Jeff John, you know, someone
yeah,
like that.
True.
I mean, he's doing
well,
Shazam.
Wonder Woman comes out when?
Within the next, you know,
year or two.
Or
two, yeah.
So it's, you're going to have eyes on it.
All right.
You're going to have people you would think coming in looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know. I thought they would have gone with someone more established unless they just couldn't find anyone more established that wanted it.
Hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see then. We'll have to definitely keep an eye on. Like you said, keep an eye on the numbers and see exactly how it does.
It doesn't matter what we think if the numbers move.
Right.
It doesn't matter what I say. If the numbers stay where they are, then
right.
it's obviously then no harm, no
foul. Oh, yeah. No harm, no foul.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Exactly.
It's all about the numbers for me. I'm just saying the numbers made me kind of scratch my head
yeah.
where I'm saying I don't see the sales
especially when you take, you're taking someone from not so great sales number, put them on a
at another company.
At another company
yeah.
on a title that has great sales.
It is just,
that,
you know,
just that is a weird move. No, you're right. You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not comment.
No. I totally get it.
I've read her book. I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm saying I read those tie-ins. I don't remember them that well.
Right.
You can take that however you want. You
right.
can say, I read a lot of stuff. That's a fact. So it's like
you
they really
read a lot of stuff.
They're really good stuff.
God bless you. You read a lot of stuff.
I'm just saying, like, the stuff I remember tends to be, you know, that's, I don't know. It's like the stuff that really sticks with me, I think those are the ones
that
I'm
really
kind of like, I'll be like, oh,
out.
Yeah, I remember
no.
that
yeah,
guy.
Absolutely.
He did a great job on this.
Right,
because
he stood it, because it stood out.
When
to
I
you.
See G. Willow Wilson, I remember the books. I remember owning them. I couldn't tell you three things in them.
Hmm.
Other than, like, A-Force, I remember all female Avengers.
Well, Wonder Woman
She-Hulk,
is on your Wonder Woman's on
America
your poll, right?
Chavez, right now it is.
Okay, all right. So we'll have to see if that, you have to kind of, then you can actually get firsthand and tell me what you think. That'll be interesting, actually. When does she start her run?
November. It'll be after
okay.
the Witching Hour.
Which is in October.
Which, I mean, I guess even if that does bad, you still have Justice League Dark if you want your Wonder Woman fix.
True.
Which is, that's a really good book.
Yeah.
I love that book, though.
Justice League Dark.
You got Man Bat on the team.
That's
swap
awesome.
Thing.
Yeah.
I love all these monsters. It's Zatanna.
She's leading that one, right?
Wonder Woman is,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
I was hoping John Constantine, he did show up in the first issue.
Okay, yeah. He's coming back, I thought.
I think I've seen
he's coming back, yeah.
His solo series just ended.
Right.
It didn't sell like they wanted it to. And that's, you know, that's business. That's business. And it was good. I like the book. I don't think that was a quality thing. The last issue. See, I can go in depth on the Constantine story, maybe
right.
just because I like that character so
right.
much. But like a mobster getting out of hell and basically taking over an ex-girlfriend's body walking around on Earth.
That is very, very,
and
very,
he had to find a way to exercise it, and it was kind of really dug in.
Huh.
And it's like he can't really hurt the bodies. It's an ex-girlfriend.
Right.
It's a police officer.
Oh, wow.
But you have this really foul mobster in there that was helped by a priest who was his brother. There was all kind of wrinkles. I thought that last
that's a very
issues,
interesting. That's a very interesting.
It was
concept.
Awesome. I loved that whole 24 issues. I loved every second.
Huh.
Something about the whole magic, I just enjoyed. That's probably why I like Justice League Dark so much. It's
right,
like,
yeah.
I liked it so much I just slapped myself and hurt myself. It's such a lot of fun. The other one, I guess, that kind of raised my antenna, they're bringing in... I'm not going to get into this too much, but Zoe Quinn, never written a comic before, infamous game developer. You can look that up on your own, draw your own conclusions. All I'm saying, no experience in comics. Very, 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 very controversial figure. Draw your own conclusions. It's just a weird hire.
Hmm.
To me, it's like the equivalent of hiring. It's probably not this bad. But if you were to put Alex Jones with no comic experience on a book, You know what I mean? Hmm. It just has connotations where right. I'm like not real comfortable with it. Is what I'm
well,
saying.
What is this woman also known for being a game designer? I'm not even familiar with her name.
Not many people are. It's an I don't even want to get into it.
Oh, because it's was it just, like something like bad? I mean, was she?
Yes.
Like, oh, really?
It caused a. It shook the ground. There was a big backlash over some of the things that. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to influence people's thinking.
Right, right.
The allegation. I guess I can just give you the allegation.
Right.
The
this allegation. Is public knowledge. So it's
it
not
was
like you're
posted. Her boyfriend at the time posted like a 2-page thing on whatever, one of these forums, and said that he had been cheated on and that she was sleeping with game reviewers to get better scores.
Okay.
That was the allegation.
Okay.
And apparently people dug into it and they found there may have been some smoke to the fire in some cases. I mean, you can look it up. You do your own conclusion. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, Joe.
Nah, me neither.
That's why I didn't even want to really say it. That's the allegation.
I know.
But other than that.
I can't. Well,
yeah, we can't, you can't do that, Joe. You get us in so much trouble.
Let's just say I have a great soundbite for that, and I am not going to do it.
I have no idea
how hard this is for me to not do this right now.
My God. I'm just saying. That is what she's famous for.
You're not going to get very much though, because, like I said, I own a comic book store for crying out loud.
I'm just saying, as far as like that's it. That's all there is to her. She's not a comic writer. This
right.
is her first book. The artist is another story. Do you know he? This is why I have to stay off Twitter. Someone sent me this. As a reply to someone's criticism, he took a picture of his bare bottom and responded with that.
All right, then.
So a couple.
This kind of goes right back into what we were talking about earlier, about just, people just not liking their work.
I mean,
so
who
what
would
to
think
do?
To do that?
Takes a picture of his ass.
Who does that, Joe? That's not like normal behavior, is it?
I don't.
That was weird.
I did
to
stuff
me.
Like that in college, but.
I know, but.
I mean, wasn't doing
sorry. You weren't working like at DC. That dude drew Spider-Gwen, too. He was one of the artists on it.
That's just kills really me. Weird. These artists, they got the jobs that we are clamoring for,
and
they
just
blow
treat
them.
It,
yeah,
treat it like,
they treat it like it's nothing.
Here, let me just. Yeah, who
right.
do you think the
dude? I don't know.
What a dummy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand the logistics behind. Like, someone's ticked off at you, or like you're getting bad.
You get
for
irritated.
Who wouldn't want to take a picture of their ass and say, you know what, kiss it, everybody. I mean, I get it,
but don't
you
do
don't
it.
Do it.
Don't
no,
do
you
it.
Don't do it. Just. Straight out, you don't, and like I said, this is right back what we said before.
I don't think so.
You just, if you're going to be doing this kind of work, and you're going to have followers on Twitter and your Facebook and all this other crap, dude, you got to be a little more smart about what you're, you know, posting. Unlike myself, who just made that one comment you're going to have to edit out later.
So. Don't worry about it. It was really
Of course,
funny.
I'm a nobody, though, so no one cares. Well, no one gives a damn what I think.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm not a celebrity.
I'm just saying, that's like the sole claim to fame. There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
I mean, she had to leave game development, obviously. She said it was harassment or the fact that, like, people were like, just, you know, after what I told you, everyone's kind of like, I don't know that I want to necessarily
work with. Well, that when you're doing stuff, I'm sorry, but that kind of stuff gets to, it questions your integrity about what you're doing. So
that's an excellent point. So
I mean, would you want to work with someone that's, I don't know. I see it, but.
I don't know. It's just a weird hire is what I'm not going to say one. You do the research. It's called Gamergate. You can look into this. You can draw whatever conclusion you want to draw. I don't want to touch it.
Nah.
I don't want to influence you. I just gave you the allegation. You can, if you really want to. It's just, I was like, I saw
that
book.
Do the research yourself.
I saw the book, and I was just like, why? Why does that? What? She's not like a she's never written a comic before. Like, that's her sole claim to fame. I'm just like.
There's bad publicity about.
Yeah.
Making a living.
And starting a huge. Fighting the gaming industry.
Right, right.
Almost, you know,
I'd almost
did
like,
a lot
I think
of damage.
I would kind of think that that would be like a red flag. Like, you don't even want to, you know, wouldn't even want to think
weird.
Of bringing this woman on.
No, I don't know. I don't know, Joe. That's all I'm saying
it's
is
weird.
It's a weird,
it is weird.
It's a weird
that's
decision.
True.
And that's like the new Vertigo. You think of Vertigo, man. You're talking Garth Ennis on Preacher.
Yeah.
You're talking all the, you know, you're talking Sandman, Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
And they're sharing that legacy with Zoe Quinn. I mean, you can draw, I mean, that's all I'm saying.
You can think about it. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see what she does there again.
Granted, Neil Gaiman and Garth Ennis weren't Neil Gaiman and Garth Ennis
until they started. Yeah. So maybe this could be a good thing.
Maybe she's got a reservoir of untapped talent they've discovered that no one knows about.
Okay, well, so, yeah, and then maybe.
Anyway, those are pretty much the two moves that made me scratch my head. I'm not saying good
you know
or
what
bad.
DC
to me sales item ship that's king.
That
free
right.
market decides. Free market
right,
decides.
Exactly, and you know, and you kind of you got
so what I think. It's what you guys buy.
Well, and exactly that. It'll be based upon like what the numbers are that month, the shipping numbers, then the shipping numbers the next month, because that you know, and the month after that, the month after that, because that yeah. tells you how much is actually going out,
yeah.
and what the customers are really
You're
actually.
You're not
going
to know for two. Three
but you know
months.
What though? Let's look at it this way. You know, DC is not. They're like Marvel with their movies. You know, DC has yet to disappoint me in their comics, so I'm gonna trust them that they know what they're doing. I mean. You know, who's to say, I mean, this woman that has no experience writing comics, maybe that she has an in with someone there and they know and they've seen her work. Like, you know what, you should be writing comics. You'd be really good at it. And you don't know. I mean, she could hit Vertigo and then just light the whole, you know what I mean? She'd catch
we'll
fire
see.
And
could
take
be.
Off.
We'll
so
see.
We'll see.
The numbers will tell. I think the numbers will
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And there's something I almost said that I'll say out there. And the numbers will tell. That's all I'm saying is it's just weird hires to me.
It is.
I'm not talking about them personally.
Right.
I'm just saying these on the surface. I was like, that's a bold strategy.
It's
Cotton,
an interesting
yeah. dodgeball.
Yeah, it is.
It's like it could be brilliant. You know,
it
maybe
could.
maybe Marvel is like you said making these people off.
Right. Well, that was another thing too because we've heard time and time again talent talk about.
If you're given a terrible story and told to write it,
right.
you may not.
Or
be anything
let's just say,
hear.
For example, some of those first drafts you did, Marvel didn't like, and had they actually went with your first drafts originally, it would have been a great write. It would have been a great read.
Because honestly, if you gave me Miss Marvel, I don't know what I'm doing with that, Joe.
Yeah,
neither
would I. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be a writer. I'm not a writer. I'm an artist, though, and I would have fun drawing it.
I could probably figure. It's like the teenage characters I struggle with.
Right.
Like I just. I don't know. I think you almost have to be a teenager.
You do.
To think like a
or at least be the parent of a teenager so you can kind of understand.
Well, exactly, because me as a teenager, that what was cool 20 years ago when I was a teenager isn't cool now.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's
so
not.
Know
and you know,
it's
something
like
that, I could tell you right now, if I were actually in charge of something like that, that kind
I
of project, I would
like
be...
the plague.
Well, I would avoid like the plague because, like I said, I teach art classes. Yeah. A lot of my students are teenagers, so they could probably... And they do. They're constantly letting me in on what's hip, what's new, because I'm old. And I admit this. I'm okay with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with aging gracefully. But like I said, DC is yet to disappoint me as far as their talent goes in their comics. So I'm
until they make
I'm down to
sleep.
Yeah, let's see what happens. This could be cool.
Yeah. So we're just
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. we just spent an hour saying we'll see what happens basically at the end of it. But,
the end of the day, that's really all.
It's
you
not
can
like
do.
You wish anyone to fail either.
No, absolutely not. I'm not wishing that on anybody.
It's like I'm not saying, oh, I hope G. Willow Wilson comes in and bombs.
No,
I hope she sells great. I hope she finds her voice, and I hope she does timeless stories that people want to have on their shelves for years to come. That's what I wish.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish for good comics for everybody.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, on the surface, you know,
it's just different.
It's
not what you would expect a company like DC to do.
It would be like someone signing a third-string linebacker from another team and being like, they are our franchise starter,
right?
You know, at middle linebacker, taking over for like, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
In James Robinson, who is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So, you know... It's kind of anyone that has to step into those shoes. It's going to be tough when you're new.
Yeah.
Even for football, like I said, you know, who wants to? The Dolphins have never found a quarterback after Dan Marino, and they're always in that shadow.
Yeah.
Of are you as good as Dan? You know.
Well, Dan was a hell of a quarterback. Yeah, it's kind of hard to fill those.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of tough to come into that spot, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
The sales will tell us.
Exactly. The sales will tell us what we want to know.
I'm a big believer in free money. Hey, if the stuff works and you're selling, then you're
precisely.
Doing it right.
Absolutely.
The thing I worry about with the industry is you and I are looking at these numbers shipped and kind of going, I don't know. Especially the Marvel books being so low as a number. They shouldn't be getting smoked by Sonic the
Hedgehog
is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
no offense to Sonic the Hedgehog, but you would think that
that's a
big company, flagship company like Marvel.
I mean,
would
Sonic's,
be top, you know.
Sonic, I mean, the video games have not been good. Sega as a company doesn't make hardware anymore. It's kind of...
It's weird. Talking about my art students, though, there's a big, like, underground following for Sonic.
There is.
It's weird.
I was a Genesis kid drawing.
Right. Well, they'll talk... Well, these kids here have never seen a Sega Genesis. They're way too
just
young.
Just cartoons, probably.
Maybe cartoons, maybe... And Sonic was, like, my one art student, Blue. She loves Sonic. She's all... Matter of fact, we did a Sonic print together. I did the artwork for it, and then she did the ink and color work, and she's just all about Sonic, and it's just like, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, like, you didn't own it. You were too young for Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know.
Ways to get those games.
Oh,
well,
they
still
is.
Exist.
Yeah.
They
well,
make
sure.
New ones, you know.
So, but it does kind of lead you
it's
to believe,
like,
though, where's this underground following coming from?
I'm just saying, yeah, you think his popularity probably peaked 25 years
right.
ago when he was, like, the face of
right.
a hardware maker that
right.
was, like, because, like, there's Sonic Racing coming out this fall. No one's talking about it.
Right. So
I mean, they exist. They're there.
I'm about to actually ask her about that a little bit more. Just kind of get more like, where did you actually? How did you get into Sonic anyway? You know,
I'm just saying it's a weird book for Marvel to be getting just
underneath.
Yeah. And not only just Ms. Marvel, because I'm not just bagging on that. There's a lot of books underneath Sonic that are from Marvel.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. It's just like, I think they should be, as an industry leader, the standard, you know, heavy lies the crown. You know, you're the number one leader of books shipped. It's
right.
like, why are these...
Industry leader. Their movies are number one in the box office. I mean, you have the... are the media. You are like a big media...
It's not like we're bagging on C.B. Cebulski and these guys for fun.
No, but at the same time, you can't get into a thing like C.B. Cebulski.
Nothing.
Without having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, you can have a little bit of fun. It's just like we feel like they should be better than
right.
what they are.
Oh, no,
they
I agree.
Be, they should be better. Everyone should have these. No one should be pulling them off their pull list en masse like I just
did. No, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's just...
Yeah, well, the only other, like I said, the only other time that I can remember...
And again, I think it's just this weird recycle all the writer, you know...
Well, it could be these like writers trying to find work too. I mean,
I understand that. But at a certain point, after they've failed so many times on so many different books, at what point do you say?
I will say this: it's good of Marvel to give them second chances.
Well, we're talking
because most companies wouldn't do that.
We're talking about fourth, fifth, and sixth chances for someone, you know,
right?
Like Matthew Rosen. I mean, I don't know.
Who is this?
Matthew Rosenberg on The Punisher tanked it once, relaunched with a number one, writer.
Okay.
He's writing Multiple Man and new. He's a guy just, he writes these X-Men books and it's like he's never read an X-Men book ever, I don't think. Because it, like, Multiple Man did not act like Multiple Man. Like, he's technically married, his wife's not in it. He acts like a teenager even though he's probably mid to late, you know, mid-30s, late-40s at this point.
Wow.
If you think about it. It's really bizarre. I just, I don't know. I read his stuff, and I'm like, I don't know that he has a firm grasp
right.
of the history of the character. And that, I mean, it's hard because it's 50 years. But it's like, generally, you would think of the archetype of when you think of someone like Madrox.
Right.
You know, you think of the cocky jerk that's, you know, very smart, though, had the detective agency, X Factor, and, you know, those are the things you think of, but... At least for me, like Quicksilver. Well, yeah, I think we all have an image in our mind of Quicksilver being a cocky,
right? Yeah.
Just jerk to everybody.
Right.
And sometimes he doesn't come across that way. That no surrender. I showed you the art.
Yeah.
Really weird. It's like he didn't come across. It just didn't seem like Quicksilver.
Right.
Because to me, I don't know. He's a woe is me guy, and that's kind of what that whole series was woe is me. I'm stuck.
Okay.
In time.
Yeah, right.
I think like he'd be so cocky, like, so what? I'm stuck. I'll figure a way out because
right.
I'm Quicksilver. And
right.
I'm good.
Because I'm that good. Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
the way I interpret
yeah.
him. That's just me, though.
Right.
Because even when he was doing it, they were making a big deal about that. I was like, to me, Quicksilver would be like, please, why? I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Like, what? Whatever. I don't
right.
care about your terms. I'm Quicksilver.
Exactly.
You know, I think he's a guy that has an inflated opinion of himself.
Right. Right. In all the comics I had ever read of him prior, he has.
Yeah.
So,
that's just those are the things I talk about with Marvel. It's just like they don't seem to understand the characters.
No, it's like, well, or at the same time, they're scrambling to do what they can to get new readers, so they feel the need to change things up. And I've been saying this since our very first cast. They change things up too much too fast. That's always been their problem.
I mean, it doesn't.
And then now they're changing things they don't need to change.
I understand, like. To me, the best thing to do when you have a movie, I don't mind them changing the appearances to match the actors,
right.
But keeping the core of the character
right.
the same.
Right, exactly.
So, like, you remember when Bullseye went bald for the Daredevil?
Yes.
They kind of made him look like that in the comic, but he still behaved like
Bullseye. He was still himself, okay.
You know, I don't mind that sort of thing. Like, if you want to make Black Panther, and I would encourage this, actually, look like Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, no doubt.
But keep him like comic
he's a
Black
great,
Panther.
He's yeah. a great. That was a great portrayal. Well, I mean, his portrayal in the
and
movie and the
Thor,
comics aren't all that different.
I would love to see Hemsworth's Thor portrayed as Thor in the comics.
Yeah.
The other one seems a little too perfect. I like the more rugged look of like Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He looks kind of like a Goldilocks, big chin, you know, kind of a goofball.
Right. Mark, well, that would always been Thor's.
I know. I just
remember,
like the
do
more
you remember,
Hemsworth.
Do you remember, all right, this is a way off base, but it's kind of neat. You're talking about Thor portrayed in movies. Do you remember the movie Adventures in Babysitting?
I do not.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Long story short, Elizabeth, this is an 80s flick, right? Elizabeth Shue is babysitting these kids, and she has to go into Chicago to pick up her friend. Right. And this is like young Elizabeth Shue. She's babysitting these kids, Anthony Rapp, and I forget what the little girl's name is, and then the other brother. But anyway, long story short, they end up having to go in. She has to take these kids into the town of Chicago to pick up her friend who tried to run away but chickened out last minute.
Uh-huh.
So they get caught in a whole series of stuff happening to them. Like, you know, like the kids' parents are actually in Chicago at a party. So they're trying – they find themselves actually at their party at some point. And they're trying to hide. And they're getting away from these, like, carjackers and, like, these – I don't know. These criminal guys or whatever, and the whole thing is just one bad incident thing happening after another to them. Great movie. But anyway, in the movie, the little girl is obsessed with Thor. Like, she is convinced
really?
That Thor is a real person. Mm-hmm. And they get the guy, and, like, they end up going – their car gets shot. Like, the windshield wiper – like, the windshield gets shot, and – like, they weren't in the car when it happened. It was, like, their car was being towed because the whole thing started when they were on the freeway and their tire blew, and they didn't have a spare, so they had to call a tow truck to come pick them up. And then the guy's like, well, I'll take you back to the shop, and I'll get you a tire on me, no problem. Well, on the way there, the guy gets a call from his business partner saying, hey, yeah, that car's at your house again. Basically, his wife was cheating on him. So next thing you know, he takes a detour to his house. He goes in. He busts the door. But he's got a gun. He's fighting with the other guy. And there's bullets flying everywhere. And a bullet goes into Elizabeth Shue's car while it's on the tow truck. She's freaking out. And then, like, they jump into another car, which is actually being hijacked at the time. And the guy takes him to the chop shop, which they're in there for a little bit. Long story short, they finally get him back to the actual body shop where they were going to fix the window. And they fix the window for him. And the guy, Mr. Dawson was his name, was the owner of the shop. He was like, you owe me, you know, someone for the new window or whatever, the windshield. I think it was a windshield he made pay for, or the tire, well, whatever. They didn't have the money. And, well, anyway, the guy looked like Thor. And I'm trying to remember for the life of me who it actually was. This is going to kill me now until I can remember what his name was. But anyway, he had, like, the long blonde hair, chiseled jaw, clean shaven, like, just the kind of Thor that's portrayed in the old school comic
Marvel
books.
Comics.
Yeah, right. And, the little girl's like, you're supposed to help people. And he's just like, kid, I only help myself. You know, like, I mean, he's just a, you know, he's just a Chicago guy or whatever. And like, I mean, at the end of the whole thing ends up, like, she gives him his helmet, her helmet. She has a Thor helmet, a little plastic one she wears. Because the whole time she's dressed up like Thor, pretty much. She's got, like, the helmet, the hammer, you know, the little plastic hammer. So she's like, wait a minute, you're not wearing your helmet. So she gives him the helmet. She's like, if you're wearing this, you'll be Thor, and yada, yada, yada. And then the guy's like, kind of like melts his heart, like, really, you're gonna give me this? It's like your most prized possession. And so he ends up just giving him the car, and then he takes the helmet. He's like, hey kid, by the way, I got one of these at home. Throws her the head back. And then, so I cannot remember who this guy's name was now. Oh, this bug is gonna bug me till I find out.
We'll let you know next week.
Yeah. Next week, hell, I'm gonna look at it now. Anyway, but yeah, you were talking about Thor and his portrayal and stuff, and I remember him in that movie. I forget. I know as soon as I figure out what the guy's name is, I'm going to kick myself. But anyway, he had the long blonde hair, chiseled jawline, clean shaven, basically what they would have expected what they would have expected Thor to look like back in the, had they made, like, well, wait a minute, who else did he, he was also portrayed by somebody else, too, in the TV show, the Hulk TV show.
Eric Kramer.
Was that him?
Yeah.
He was also the guy that fought Dan in Roseanne, that episode of Roseanne where they were in the bar. Yeah, the guy, I remember it.
I never watched Roseanne. I saw the trial of the Incredible Hulk, or no, that was the one with Daredevil. The one with Daredevil
was the trials. No, there's one with Thor, and it's played by the same guy
And it had Donald Blake, and he did the thing with the staff. And
That was awesome. So, no, I...
But he was
kind of more the same way. He was more of the chiseled,
like Viking.
Viking, kind of, almost Norse god Thor, which, I mean... It's still debatable to this day as to who like if Thor was based off of that Thor, which I mean I think originally he was, wasn't he? Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio,
the Kingpin.
He was Thor in that movie, but he was like skinny, muscular,
chiseled.
Like, dude, I knew he was someone else. Actually, well, that's cool. I forgot that he was actually in Marvel.
I think Joe.
I went off on a tangent. My bad.
No,
that was totally
okay.
My fault.
I think we're gonna wrap it up because we've got this file so big that I don't think it's.
Well, you're gonna have to edit all the stuff that I said about what's her face. So you're gonna have to. So, but I will just end it on this. There you go.
We'll see you next week, guys.